So then he says, and he was, and then he also had his own sort of attraction to a girl. He said, and then he relates this himself. When I was 18, I liked a girl. She liked me too. And as these things go, after some time of liking her, I fell deeply in love. I wanted to marry her. I daydreamed about having her by my side, helping me out in the fields, making a living together. Then one day on my way home from work, I met my best friend, Put, on the road. He said, "Cha, I'm taking the lady." When I heard those words, I went completely numb. I was in a state of shock for hours afterwards. I remembered the prediction of an astrologer that I would have no wife but many children. At that time, I wondered how it could be possible. And then the narrative goes on. Simply, and with the unquestioned prerogative that parents of his age and culture possessed, Put's father and his wife had decided that their two stepchildren should marry. There was no more to be said. The reasons were pragmatic, economic. If Put married Jai was the girl's name. If Put married Jai, the family would be saved a bride price they could ill afford. They had just acquired land some distance from the village that should not be left fallow. The young couple could move out there and farm it together. Ajahn Chah, despite the coming of the rains, must have felt his life suddenly beached in a dry and desolate land. But other than trying to reconcile himself to the situation, what could he do? It made no sense to be angry with Put. His friend had not plotted behind his back and was painfully embarrassed by the whole affair. But this disappointment was a profound one, a sharp and hurtful lesson in the uncertainties that bedevil human affairs. Where should you, where could you, place your trust? Ajahn Chah maintained his friendship with Put, and indeed it was to last for the rest of Ajahn Chah's life. But with Jai, he had to be more circumspect. His feelings could not be denied by an act of will. Even after becoming a monk, if Ajahn Chah saw her in the monastery, he would have to do his utmost to avoid a meeting that might stir up painful emotions. Ajahn Chah admitted that for the first 7 years of his monkhood, it was impossible to completely let go of his thoughts of Jai. Perhaps after all, by some miracle, she became free. The same tantalizing scenarios periodically recurred in his mind, the same facile happy endings. Could he then, in such a case, remain in the robes? He didn't know. It was only when he finally left his familiar surroundings and through meditation practice gained a method of stilling his thoughts and seeing them in perspective that the fantasies faded. In later years, as abbot of Wat Nongpapong, describing to the monks the drawbacks of sensual desire, he would often talk of the debt of gratitude he owed to Put. If he hadn't married Mae Jai, then I probably wouldn't be here today, he would say. Perhaps. At the same time, one can't help but assume that if there had not been this particular obstacle to a conventional married life, another would surely have emerged. He says, "I was fed up. I didn't want to live with my parents. The more I thought about it, the more fed up I became. I just wanted to go off by myself the whole time. But to where, I didn't know. I felt like that for a number of years. I was fed up, but not with anything in particular. I just wanted to go somewhere and be alone. These were the feelings I had before I became a monk. I wasn't fully conscious of them, but they were there all the same, all of the time.